Our first film is Blown Away, the second Mad Bomber movie released in the last few weeks, and it does suffer by comparison with the film Speed. Unlike Speed, Blown Away has some pretensions of significance, and I think that's what gets it in trouble. For example, here's a scene that seems like a parody of the speeding bus in Speed. A bomb expert, Jeff Bridges, has to defuse a bomb that will go off if a college student, get this, stops typing at her computer or the computer runs out of available bytes of memory. Unbelievable.
Tell me something. You like red wine or white wine?
Just do something!
Red, me too. She loves me.
That's just silly. The main story has Bridges trying to combat an insane bomber who has a personal vendetta against Bridges and wants to humiliate him by destroying other members of the Boston Bomb Squad. Who's the madman? Tommy Lee Jones plays him. He's an anti-British terrorist who has a checkered history with Bridges. They used to be allies in Ireland. Now Jones is in Boston for revenge.
Civilians die in war, Liam. You disobeyed orders. Betrayed the cause.
You never gave a damn about the cause. The only thing that ever turned you on were your damn bombs.
And what lovely letters they are, Liam.
There are bombs aplenty in this picture, many of them quite ridiculously elaborate, none more so than when Jones wires up an old friend of Jeff Bridges, played by his real-life father, Lloyd Bridges.
I'm scared to move. I'm chicken.
And I'm sitting there thinking, where did he get all the stuff to wire up that old man like that? And the guy sits still while all this stuff is being put on him like some kind of Christmas tree. It's very silly, which is too bad because there are scenes in Blown Away that are really good, especially one where Bridges' new wife comes home and we suspect a bomb is in her house, and we see great, really great shots of her turning on a stove or turning on a light bulb, and we get right next to the flames, right next to the point of ignition. That's very exciting. So, scenes that work, scenes that don't, a mixed review from me, but thumbs down on Blown Away.
My thumb is down too, and you know, talk about those Rube Goldberg devices. There's one set up on the abandoned ship that Tommy Lee Jones is hiding out on, you know, where the ball runs down the chute and knocks over the bottle, which pulls the string, which sets the lever, which pulls the switch. And you say, is this guy a bomber, or is he entered the Westinghouse science search? I mean, why would anyone go to that much trouble when all you really have to do is blow somebody up?
Summer now.
Drinking summery drinks and watching Blown Away.
We've had like a solid few days in a row of just hot ass weather, Matt. Hot.
Yeah.
It's really feeling like summer.
I like everybody being like, it's too hot.
Heat waves are coming off that concrete. It's the motherfucking 4th of July. Hillbillies are blowing off fireworks all the live long day.
I vowed to jump a bus in front of your house in a couple days here.
Yeah, I don't even have room for a bus, but we're going to figure out a way to do it.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
It's the 4th,
to eat hot
motherfucker.
And curse other countries.
Stepped up my brat game hard this weekend. Near levels of perfection. Actually, this whole last week, I think I've hit my...
To be like, inject some cheddar in
my
there
summer zone.
These brats right now?
My grill game, I got the touch back. You know, sometimes you get a pitcher that goes through a rough streak where he's just like, I don't really have the feeling for that pitch right now, and that's my out pitch. Like, man, I tell you what, it started last week on a Thursday. I did a little grilling. My steak and asparagus game took it to a whole another level.
Do you think that maybe Joe Boo has anything to do with it? Did you give some rum to Joe Boo and now that grill game's turned around?
Jesus, good guy. He no help me cook steak. But Joe Boo, yeah.
That's for sure. I think Jesus was a vegan.
It's the baby oil and blow. If you can't fucking tell by our enthusiasm and talking about grilled meats and shit, it's summer, motherfucker. Yeah. You got two hosts, as always, me, Matt O, and my main guy,
on the mic.
My homie, he's the He is the DJ Jazzy Jeff to my Will Smith, Sussa right. Summertime Nate Adams.
Ahoy, hoy, everybody. I always saw myself as more of like a Jeffrey type character than a Jazzy. I'm very polite, and you're Will, and I'm a little bit older, and we have that sort of relationship.
I always looked at you as the Waldo, Geraldo, Faldo to my whatever Winslow, Eddie Winslow. Yeah,
I can definitely see that.
That's a pretty good
I'm
one.
A real dunce, man.
I should have saved that one.
A real dunce.
Oh, when you let that basketball hit you in the head in the opening credits? Oh, boy, I tell you what, Nate.
Yeah, tell me.
I know you've been sweating where we're going to put the bus for me jumping it on a motorcycle.
I'm going to have to cut down some of these trees, I think.
I don't know if you...
Those are the city's trees, Matt. They don't want me cutting them down.
Well, I don't think I showed you and Maria because it wasn't really a joke. I literally, after making the proclamation at the bar that I would jump a bus,
yeah.
I just Googled how hard is it to jump a bus on a motorcycle. Never got a
dirt bike
definitive result. So I'm not sure.
That was the next thing I'd search.
But man, I don't want to. I know you like hanging out with me on 4th of July and seeing if I get hurt.
Yeah,
but
so much.
You might have to cancel the bus rental.
Can we at least jump a Winnebago?
I started the 4th a little early, my friend. Take a good look. Take a gander.
What do you got going on there?
Take a gander.
Oh, your whole foot seems to be swollen up, especially that big toe right there.
Yeah, that's black.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, is that from the bar brawl a couple weeks ago, or is that a different toe?
No, that's the opposite foot.
So now you've got
This is the bar brawl. It's healing up.
Two bad dogs.
Yeah.
Both of them barking.
The black...
We haven't even officially hit the 4th of July.
The black toe, Nate.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite horror movies.
That's from... It's from The Fire.
Oh, did you do some fire jumping?
Oh, you ready for this story?
I guess so.
Strap in.
I gotta hear it.
Strap in. All right, so we're doing the big fireworks show at the block party, 4th of July, early 4th at Maria's parents. We got the fireworks all set up. They're on a relay through a computer. It's all done wirelessly.
Nerd alert.
So
Jesus Christ.
We got a whole
go out there with a beer and a lighter.
We got a barge full of fireworks in the middle of the lake getting set off, right? I'm drinking. I'm doing my own thing. I notice the fireworks are going off. I see a little fire coming from the corner of the boat.
Oh, exciting.
Then I notice the fireworks are going off fast. I do the math. I say, they're in panic mode. They're shooting those off as fast as they can because they're worried this thing's going to burn to the ground. So I go over there. I see the fire's getting bigger. I look at it. I'm drunk. And I say to myself,
it's
only one man for this job.
Who was it?
It's me.
Oh.
So I go over. So smart. My guy, Randy, he's shooting off the fireworks. I'm like, Randy, what can I do? He's like, very dismissive. I'm like, he's stressed. He's panicking. I'm going to wait for him to finish firing off. He's trying to get these all fired off before shit blows up. So he gets it all fired up. He shuts the computer. I say, Randy, what do you need me to do? He's like, we got to put this fire out. I go, you got a jet ski for me? He goes, yeah. It's like, you got fire extinguishers? He's like, yeah. We go, we get the fire extinguishers. He gives me a life preserver vest. I put it on,
like
right?
A scene from striking distance.
I put it on, but I don't even fasten the vest, so I got to like open so it looks cool.
To show your tits because you're Sarah Jessica Parker in this striking distance scenario.
I got the vest on. I got two fire extinguishers under my arm. He's pushing me off in the jet ski. He's like, all right, you're going to get out there. You take the fire extinguishers, give them to the guys in the boat. Guys in the boat, get them, you tell them to sweep. Get it low. You got to sweep the fire. I was like, I know what to do.
Yeah.
But in my head the whole time, I'm like,
I've been in a lot of prison riots.
I'm like, you think I'm trusting somebody else with these fire extinguishers?
Tell me how to put out a barge fire.
I'm the fucking hero, bro.
That's right.
So I ride up onto the fire jet ski.
Were you spraying one of the fire extinguishers behind you to make the jet ski go faster?
Duh.
That's what I would have been doing.
You gotta get there in a hurry.
Yeah.
So I get there quick, right? I get to the barge. I hand one of the fire extinguishers to the kid. I'm like, you sweep this low. You gotta get it to fire. And I take the other one. He does nothing. He ruins it. I get a little out with mine. I'm like, this isn't going to be enough. They're like, we're going to go see if we can get more fire extinguishers. I'm like, cool. So I'm doing donuts next to the barge trying to spray up onto the fire, right?
Yeah.
No avail. They come back in the barge. I'm like, to the little kid that's on the barge or the on the boat.
While
there's
this whole thing's happening,
a boat and a barge.
There's a soundtrack going on in my head, and it's just da barge.
So they come back on the boat, and I'm like, kid.
Kids are running everywhere screaming. There's explosions.
I'm like, kid, hold my jet ski, because that's my escape plan, right? And he's like, okay, yes, sir. And I get on the boat. I'm like, who's got shoes? They're like, what? I say, who's got shoes? The little kid's
Husker
like,
do.
Little kid's
we're too
like,
young to know what that is, old man.
The kid's like, I got sandals. The old man driving the boat, he's like, I got sandals. The Hesher that's on the boat.
Oh,
he's like,
yeah.
I got boots.
Hell yeah, you
I'm like,
do.
Give me your boots, bro, like Terminator style. Give them to me.
I need your clothes, your boots, and your pontoon boat.
He doesn't argue. He gives me the boots, right? Mm-hmm. I say to the kid, I'm like, hold on to my jet ski. I get on the flaming barge.
Kid instantly steals your jet ski.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, what a shit.
He's in awe, bro. So I get on the flaming barge. I start kicking, you know, fireworks into mm-hmm. the water.
Right.
Spent firework cartridges into the water because it's just a flaming barge of cardboard.
There's
at
no
this
environmental
point.
People around watching.
No, people are just like, look at this fucking hero. So, you know, I kick it all out, and then they come back. I get a bucket, and I start dunking some stuff.
Turtles start floating to the ocean or the water surface dead.
I officially get it all out, and they're like, all right, we're bringing this sucker back to the barge
mm-hmm.
or to the dock. At this point, I've tied my jet ski to the barge because I don't trust the kid, and he's come and helped me ever so slightly. So I get on the jet ski, and I just ride off into the sunset. People are clapping. They're like, what just happened?
Yeah. It's crazy that the sun rose again and set just so he could do that.
It's dark again. No one knows it was me out there. I get in there. They're like, I just put out that fire. They're like, what? I was like, I was the dude. They're mm-hmm. like, we were wondering who that masked rider was on that jet ski. It was like I was like on a Harley. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
do you have any leg hair left?
Yeah, surprisingly. Wow, that's, well, I had jeans on while I was doing it. You know?
Oh, yeah.
No shirt, jeans,
mm-hmm.
motorcycle boots, yeah.
Yeah. How, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think you probably looked like David Spade's character Joe Dirt during this entire thing?
Oh, none.
Down?
None.
None at all?
No. I would say I probably looked more Lorenzo Lamas than anything.
I was picturing Joe Dirt
the
whole time.
No, not even
Lorenzo
a little.
Lorenzo Lamas, huh? Yeah. Okay. I guess you say so.
And then afterwards, I was riding on that endorphin, that adrenaline high, right?
Yeah, sure.
And so, like, I want to rage. Like, I'm taking beers. Anything that's handed to me, I'm drinking, right? And then I get backdoored by old Hurricane Ronnie. She wanders up.
Sure.
It's her birthday.
Oh, that's a perfect storm of drunk sister-in-law nonsense, I would imagine.
So she's got a bottle of Apple Crown with two straws in it.
Uh-huh.
Because she's just, you know, already raged too hard to pour shots.
Right.
So you just drink out of the straws.
Uh-huh.
And everybody else is, you know, turned off by this. And I'm like, I can't let Hurricane Ronnie drink alone on her birthday.
A nice little date.
So I rage with her, fight my brothers. I gave Ted he tried to get me over his shoulder and, like, carry me off to, like, sober up.
Teddy Bizcliz had you in that fireman's carry?
I weaseled out of it into, like, a sunset flip power bomb and just...
Nice.
Just laid him out on the concrete.
Yeah. Which, I bet there was a bunch of just white ass crack getting flashed during that debacle.
Oh, you know it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then I took a pratfall over a table. There was a lot of me on the ground.
Chevy Chase.
Either way, I'm covered in bruises.
Did you say anything racist,
nicks.
Or were you just doing Chevy Chase pratfalls?
Just Chevy Chase pratfalls, okay. Yeah. None of the racist comments.
That's good.
But it worked really well. Was way hungover yesterday. Didn't drink at all today. Or at all yesterday, but I'm back on it. Yeah, oh, yeah, no.
Fast now.
Yeah, we're back
got
on it.
Got some of Joe Boo's rum going on here. Chin, yeah.
It's our guy, Joe Boo.
Drink that down. It's ironic that you spent so much work avoiding creating a gigantic explosion, because we're really leaning into explosions right now.
Well, I knew I had to get to it.
We're celebrating the 4th of July by watching the greatest 4th of July movie ever.
Or St. Patrick's Day.
Explosion movie ever. Also, we watch it on St. Patrick's Day. It's so good, it's a twice a year movie.
Yeah.
Let's get into this rundown. We're talking 1994's Blown Away. This year, or this week, the rundown's brought to us by our old boy Manoli's fireworks stand down there on off Route 2 and 41.
Cousin Stavros'
fireworks stand? Fancy Greek fireworks stand. Go down there and buy some shit from him.
You buy now.
Blow up a chunk of your yard.
Oh, hell yeah.
Blown Away from 1994. The budget of this movie, cool $28 million from what I see.
You see how many explosions were in it?
I mean, they blew up a lot of stuff. The gross, $30 million domestic, so... Oh, that's not great. Unless they made some money overseas, this one didn't really pan out for them financially.
From what I recall, it was not the success they hoped it to be.
Critically or financially, which baffles me, quite frankly. But we'll
MGM was high on this one, though.
A little bit deeper, rightly so. So much so that they brought in director Stephen Hopkins. You know him from Predator 2 and Judgment Night, among other things. Sure, we'll be talking a little bit more about the work of Stephen Hopkins as this podcast rolls along.
You just spoke about
those are some feel-good favorites.
Two of our
right
favorites
there.
Right there.
The stars of this movie. Number one, Jeff Bridges. He's playing Jimmy Dove.
Hell yeah.
Jimmy Dove is a Boston Bomb Squad badass.
Fuck yeah.
Jeff Bridges, he's the dude, so that's what you call him. You know who Jeff Bridges is. He's a legend. Move on to the next legend who's in this movie. Tommy Lee Jones is playing Garrity.
Oh, snap. They're both in this?
Garrity is a long-incarcerated terrorist from Ireland. He can make a bomb out of anything, Matt. Some say he can make a bomb out of Bisquick.
And that's it. That's all you need to know about this movie.
Yeah, sure. He recently escaped. He holds a grudge against Jimmy Dove. And we got a fucking bomb off going. You know Tommy Lee Jones. We saw him looking young in Rolling Thunder. And someday we're going to see
never
him
again?
Being crazy when we talk Under Siege, which is bound to happen.
We never saw him looking young again?
Yeah, never again. Instantly, just those weird pennies he's got pressed into his under eyes started forming.
Yeah.
Susie Ami is playing Kate. She's Jimmy Dove's lady. She's the chick of the movie. Probably
she's
also
right.
Recognize her as playing Gabriel Byrne's chick in The Usual Suspects.
Gabriel Byrne.
That's about the only things I know her from.
Gabriel Byrne.
She's going to play these thankless female roles. I'm not going to really research her at all. Lloyd Bridges is another man I don't need to research. You know, Jeff Bridges' real-life daddy. He's playing Max, Jimmy Dove's mentor. He's Admiral Benson from Hot Shots. Samuel Harvey Granamore from Joe vs. the Volcano.
He's Jimmy Dove's uncle.
Okay, I didn't know if they had a real relation or if he was just an old Irish man he knew from back in the old country.
No, it's established. It's his uncle.
One last guy let's throw in here. Forrest Whitaker. He's playing Franklin. He's Jimmy Dove's protege.
You
he's
have
taking
to
his
throw
spot
in
bomb
Forrest
squad.
Whitaker.
He's Ghost Dog. Forrest Whitaker. He was Idi Amin. You know, fucking. Oh, also, this movie is starring Bono from YouTube.
Well, duh.
He doesn't appear, but boy, does his music.
His presence is felt throughout the entire film. A
couple of taglines I like that were used in the marketing of this movie. First one is, the fuse has been lit, ... Very suspenseful. The other one, I think this is the kind of the main one, was just a simple 5, 4, 3, 2,
fun.
One, time's up.
I would have gone 5, 4, 3, 2, fun. Like, if I was a movie reviewer, that would have been my headline.
That's a good headline.
5, 4, 3, 2, fun.
It's like we found your next step in your career.
You know, I could do that really well. Like,
plot
just doing
synopsis.
Terrible film reviews.
Yeah, you could be the next Leonard Maltin, even though his, like, chubby blue-haired daughter he's trying to set up to be the next Leonard Maltin. We could dye your hair.
I'll take a run at her.
Blown Away tells the story of Jimmy Dove, who works for the Boston Bomb Squad. Shortly after Dove leaves the force, his partner is killed by a bomb that Dove thinks might be made by someone he knows. Simple to the point, mysterious, draws you in, that's all you need. That's fucking Blown Away. Now that you know what we're talking about, let's actually fucking talk about it in the next segment, which we call Bullet Points.
You know how much this movie means to me.
I mean, this is not one where we're putting a bunch of suspense out there as to how we're going to judge it in the end. This is one we've watched together for years. This is both a childhood and adulthood favorite of mine.
I dared us to not even watch the movie again, but just review it from memory.
Yeah, I could have done.
And we could have.
I did watch it pretty
I did as
drunkenly.
Well. After, I was sober.
After I got home from our bar trip on Friday night, I was like, I'm going to throw on
nice.
Blown Away. I'm going to refresh myself on all this.
I tried. Yeah, I watched it soberly and tried to like force myself to find things I never noticed before.
Mm-hmm.
And did not.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've caught everything.
Sure.
Because I love this movie so
much.
It's
too late. We've seen it all.
Yeah. First and foremost, this movie has the coolest opening scenes, like just back to back.
It's my first bullet point as well.
Ever.
Just like the opening scene.
Yeah.
Cold open. We don't know where we are.
No.
I think this is a Boston movie, but we're in some crazy fucking like medieval prison
castle
situation.
Prison
like,
in Dublin, Ireland.
Everything's spooky. Everything's scary.
Even Tommy Lee Jones
looking
like Snape.
Hair past his shoulders. Yeah. That's fucking weird. Who's ever seen that before?
Is that the Harry Potter guy's name?
Severus Snape. Yeah, you got it.
Alan Rickman.
You got it going on. Rest in peace, Alan Rickman. It's greatest screen villain of all time.
Jimmy
Not Snape,
Dove,
but, you know,
I'm going
Hans
to,
Gruber.
Jimmy Dove, I'm going to kill you with a bomb.
So basically, the movie starts off with just Tommy Lee Jones is in prison. His fucking you know, cellmate gets out of the hole or whatever, and he's like, hey, brr, 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 brr.
Yeah, he was in the hole.
We got plans. We're in this together. We're good friends, right, Tommy Lee Jones?
They're speaking Gaelic, though.
Tommy Lee Jones is like, oh, yeah, we're great friends, best friends, even though I look like a total scumbag. You could trust me. Nope. Straight up just brutally murders his fucking cellmate.
Yeah.
Just like jail stabbing him, just like over and over again. Then he fucking hardcore pukes up a condom.
Yeah.
At this point, I'm like, is this a horror movie? I thought we were watching Blown Away.
Viscous liquid.
This is a 90s action movie. I'm fucking grossed out. This is freaky. This is all very disturbing. Something's in that condom that's explosive, clearly, because he makes a condom bomb out of it.
Yeah.
Fucking uses his dead cellmate's dead body in their mattresses to stop himself from blowing up when he blows up.
We're not talking about, you know, like condom bombs you used to throw at your frat brother's stinky and boner, you know, after like a long weekend, you know, just like condom bomb.
Fill
you
up
just,
a condom with pee and then throw it boner?
No, you'd save up whatever you used over the weekend crushing sorority sluts.
That's grosser than I imagine.
And then you throw them at your frat bros.
Ugh. Peeing in a frat's
stinky
awesome.
And boner.
Yeah. Fucking gerbil is visiting home that weekend, so he didn't get one.
Oh, well, then he goes home specifically because he never gets trim and he's afraid of getting hit by the old condom
bomb. That's
true,
yeah. That's why he got his name.
Yep. Gerbil. I derailed it.
Dank Irish prison. It explodes. This guy can make a bomb out of anything. He's puking up fucking explosives. This
dank
fucking
Irish
cool
prison.
As hell.
Great name for a drink, too.
Oh, yeah. Or just a gay bar. Like, it definitely...
I get
a little money together and I want to start up my gay bar.
Yeah, when we start opening
you're like,
bars.
That was a crazy fucking opening. I'm loving it. But then like the movie restarts.
Because they're like, hey, bro.
Yeah. Now you're in Boston.
Yeah, this movie's about two characters.
Mm-hmm.
And who do we get now?
So now we got Jimmy Dove. It's Jeff Bridges. It's fucking, you know, our guy, and he's on the bomb squad. He's trying to retire fucking Danny Glover style, but before he goes out, he's got a few more loose ends he's got to tie up. First of all, this fucking computer bombs, which is the most 90s fucking thing maybe that's ever been in a fucking movie.
Hell yeah.
Somebody has mysteriously put a bomb in a computer.
All right.
Okay, yeah.
Real quick.
Lay it out for me.
Like,
try to make this make sense to me.
So it's a bomb on a computer, and it's a straight up...
Pop quiz hotshot. There's a bomb in a Mech 2.
Do you know Jeff Bridges turned down the role of Speed in
what
order to do
dumb
this
idiot.
Movie? No way.
Oh, wait. In order to do this movie is not such a bad thing.
Yeah. Oh, man. If we didn't have Bridges doing this. So he's got the most 90s computer ever where this woman has to type, I love you and DOS or whatever that is.
Right.
And
that Tandy's plugging away.
Old man. Like her boyfriend blew his head off. They're MIT dorks in Boston. So they got the 90s computer, the girlfriend doing the typing, or else the computer will blow up. She's got a straight up 90s bang alterna girl haircut.
Mm, yeah, everybody
which is
looks
great.
15 years older than they should have in the 90s, mostly because of their hair.
So the bomb squad, their solution is they've got the most 90s-est graduated out of late 80s robot that's going to take over the typing.
I'm pretty sure this was just the robot from Rocky 3, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Paulie. This is Paulie. Happy birthday, Paulie.
They repurposed Paulie. The studio repurposed Paulie's fucking robot, so that's good. They saved some money there.
A sports car for my birthday. Not no walking trash can.
Oh, come on. He looks great here.
He's extremely psycho, Rocco.
Well, since you don't have any friends, we thought you'd like it.
Yeah, pretend you're happy, will you? It'll keep you company when you're all alone.
That's a great looking guy.
Please make a wish.
It's creepy. That talks, that thing.
Creepy? These are great. I wish I had one of these when I was growing up. Go on, make a wish, like he says.
I wish I wasn't in his nightmare.
Hey, very classy wish. Very nice. What do you think there? Good, huh?
Want to help me put out this forest fire?
Sure.
Okay, on the count of three. One, two, three.
Whoa, whoa. You drowned
me.
Oh, don't worry. I'll clean it up for you, Bully.
And then on top of it, how are you going to have Jeff Bridges defuse the bomb? How about if he's dressed up like Ace Ventura?
Yeah, right.
Like, this is 90s as fuck. Oh, plus everybody smokes.
And he's got a comic between
smoking.
This girl who's doing all the typing's legs and like a moment of just like
it's supposed
uncomfortable,
to be funny, but it's really
like, sexual fucking oppression not, going down straight all over this poor woman.
It might be the only thing that doesn't land in
this
movie.
So the thing is that like she's got to keep typing I love you over and over again or the bomb will go off. However,
it's on a byte count.
The bomb will also go off when the computer runs out of bytes.
It's on a byte count.
And we have a byte count.
How many bytes we got?
How many bytes are remaining the whole time? So this is the first of many, many ticking clock elements that we get in this fucking bomb movie, which makes this entire movie just edge of your seat, nail biting, thrill ride, suspenseful, motherfucker. As long as you're, you know, willing to suspend a little disbelief and don't think about how typing fucking text couldn't fill up a fucking computer's, even a 90s computer's memory, even if you did it for like 10
years
straight.
Nate, how many bytes?
The bytes were fucking counting down, and you could get away with this in the 90s because nobody knew anything about computers, so you just said whatever you wanted to. You fucking looked at a computer box, pulled a few words off of it, and been like, oh, it's got this many bytes. Once it runs out of bytes, it's over.
We've all heard the whatever guy's Batman script. Check the internets. Which one? Mm-hmm. All of them.
Yeah, all of
them. We all know that joke. We all know that joke. And that joke, it exists because of moments in 90s movies like this, where you just go, hey, no one knows about these newfangled computers.
Mm-hmm. It's just built and built. You get like the net, you get things like this, and then it peaked and it crowned when Hackers was released.
Right.
There's a new virus in the database.
What's happening?
Replicating, eating up memory. What do I do?
Type cookie, you idiot. I'll head him off at the pass.
We have a zero bug attacking all login and overlay files.
Run antivirus. Give me a systems display.
Down with section 6
to 26.
Nope, make that 10 to 40. And 1 through 6.
Die, dickweeds.
Rabbit is in the administration system.
Send a flu shot.
Rabbit, flu shot, someone talk to me.
A rabbit replicates till it overloads a file, then it spreads like cancer.
Cancer?
And just the internet was shown to us as swirling electric fucking like cityscapes.
And then...
That's totally what it looks like when you're typing in a computer.
I'd like to give a little credit because he never gets it.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. William Smith of the Scientology.
Okay.
Kudos to him for bringing the realism of the computers and the internet to life in his hit film Enemy of the State.
Oh, is that where it came from? Yeah.
That's when we first saw the dark web.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of internet shit going on in that movie from what I remember.
I don't remember much of that movie.
I remember kind of liking it at the time. Yeah. Was Jason Lee in that?
Yep.
Yeah, I do vaguely remember that movie.
Yep. And a Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman reprising his role in The Conversation, basically. In my headcanon, it's a The Conversation sequel.
Okay, well. That works for you. Works for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we escape our first big bomb threat.
Or do we, Matt? That's the question I have to pose to you right now.
You're exactly right.
Or do we?
Because you know what? That wasn't even our first big bomb threat.
Nope.
That was just a little appetizer,
a little red herring,
get a little taste of this on your tongue.
That bomb in the computer. Because there's a second bomb. It's inside the bomb squad's bomb robot.
No, that's a later bomb. You're
that's
already skipping
bomb?
80 bombs.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Jimmy Dove takes care of the MIT bomb.
Uh-huh.
Now, that sets up our friend Ryan Garrity making it to the States at Chicago's very own Mike Starr's bar.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I was conflating those two scenes together to be one scene.
They are kind of similar.
Yeah, very
similar
scenes.
Tommy Lee Jones, Ryan Garrity, he's made it to the States. He's at a bar run by Mike Starr, star of Dumb and Dumber.
That's right.
So Ryan Garrity's drinking at the bar, and they cut to the news on the TV in the bar where everybody's
So then he sees Jimmy Dove. They're just like, Jimmy Dove's a hero. He was able to defuse this bomb. Jimmy Dove's the greatest fucking Boston Bomb Squad guy ever. He's pretty much famous for it.
But he's like, oh, blah, 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 Liam. Mm-hmm. And we're like, Liam?
As far as I know, this guy's name is Jimmy
Dove. Who the fuck's Liam?
Fucking, whoo. This movie just got a lot deeper than I was expecting it to.
So Jimmy Dove gets married. He's having a great Irish wedding.
This is great, like, what the Deer Hunter did for fucking like Russian weddings, this movie Blown Away is doing for Irish weddings right here.
As you know, I'm getting
say this one matches and trumps the wedding scene in Navy SEALs, where all the Navy SEALs are getting married.
Well, hold on, let's get Ted on the show before we start making declarative statements like that. Okay,
yeah,
you know his specialty is
Shots
Navy SEALs.
Fired.
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
So they're at the wedding, which is great. His Jimmy Dove's decided he's retiring. He's going to take a teaching position. He's got a family now. He can't be doing this shit. So they're like, hey, bro, we brought a new guy in to replace you.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that we're all white and Irish here, so that makes us racist because it's Boston.
Yeah.
Black dude. Like, and I'm just going off scientific facts here. Barry Bonds stated, Boston, town full of racists.
Everybody knows that. So, mass holes, they call them.
Yeah. So he's like trying to play it cool, like, I'm not racist. I'm not racist.
You know who's not playing it cool in this movie?
Who?
Forrest Whitaker at any moment.
Yeah, no, he's just because he's
weirding out at every fucking moment.
He's also not playing it cool because he's always flop sweating.
Just
and he's just
everywhere.
Not cool.
This is
his sweatiest performance ever.
This side of Danny Glover in Predator 2.
I swear. Like,
this side of George Kennedy and fucking Cool Hand Luke.
Come on, baby, pop. Hey, Lord. Whatever I done, don't strike me blind for another couple of minutes. Oh, my Lucille. You Lucille, boy, where'd you get that? That's Lucille, you mullethead. Anything so innocent and built like that just gotta be named Lucille.
This is one of the sweatiest performances you're gonna see.
Like he
out
did
there
that
in cinema.
He won that Oscar for was that The Last King or whatever?
Idi Amin, last King of Scotland or whatever the fuck it was called.
But it takes place like in Africa's, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He's played a brutal dictator, Matt.
Yeah,
it's very sweaty in Africa.
Yeah, I never saw it. I didn't care.
He did a lot of sweating.
I hate biopics. So he's sweating in that, but this is still sweatier.
I mean,
you agree?
It's that Boston heat. We're approaching the 4th of July. It's that famed East Coast humidity. Who
Even though
needs it?
A lot
Boston's
of people...
Boston's a terrible town. The smell of those dumpsters, they start getting ripe right around the 4th
buddy,
of July.
Buddy, I've been to Jamaica, Queens. I don't want to go back. So everybody is either sweating or in full sleeves in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I really
fair.
Had troubles
that's
figuring out what time of year it was.
Well, yeah, people are sweating at different intervals. Everybody has a different kind of accent. This is taking place in the blown away version of Boston. It's not real Boston.
It's better Boston.
Yeah, you have to just, you gotta get on the wavelength of the movie. Suspend some disbelief here.
That's fair.
Who's Irish? Who's a masshole? I don't know. This guy's fucking accent sounded like this in one scene. It sounds like this in the next scene. Just go with it, baby.
Well,
we're rolling here. It's 1994.
They're at the wedding. The pagers go off because, it's the 90s. We got pagers.
Mm-hmm.
So their bomb squad pagers go off.
This is a bomb squad wedding, so everybody's got to get the fuck out of there.
And they all got to get out of there. So they go. They're like, we got this bomb. Don't worry,
hey, Jimmy
Dove.
It's your wedding.
Yeah.
Fucking just chill
so he
out,
goes,
bro.
He goes to the hotel for the honeymoon.
We all
whatever.
Know as much about bombs as you, I'm sure.
He's taking old,
nobody
unremarkable
does.
To Pound Town.
Nobody knows as much about bombs.
And like he's
off.
Done throwing one in her, and he's like, "I'm gonna get on the phone and call and see what happened, and stand out on the balcony." And she's like, "Hey, come on, like come back to bed, like
stop thinking about bombs.
Yeah,
all
put
day.
A finger
You're
in my butt.
Bombs.
Let's do some weird things." And then he's like, "Okay." And then there's a big old explosion that takes place in his iris,
which is. It's great because this bomb happens clear on the other side of Boston, and Jimmy Dove's apartment is apparently just like at hotel, the top of a hotel. Tower, like Saruman. Like, he's just got, like, he can see for probably, like, 70 miles in this fucking hotel balcony.
Was that a Lord of the Rings
That's right.
thing?
He's, he's standing at the top of the tower, and he sees this explosion. We see it in the distance. It's one of the biggest explosions that's ever happened in the history of the world. But then we get the opposite shot. The camera cuts, and we get the same explosion just happening fucking in Jimmy Dove's eyeball. Just 90s CG explosion in an eyeball.
Yeah, and it looks awesome.
And it's one of the most melodramatic things you're ever going to come across in a movie.
Awesome.
Jimmy Dove's just like, why did I get married? I'm married to bombs. I should have known that.
It's the imagery. It's also telling you he's exploding inside.
Oh, that's very true. Yeah,
because he knows something's afoot here.
Almost immediately, he knows something's not right. This isn't a normal Boston bomb. Yeah. The types of which I deal with on a daily basis. Seemingly, so
he goes down there to investigate it because one of his bomb squad boys got blown away. He's got to investigate it.
Way to drop the title. Yeah.
So he's like, man, like, what's going on here? And oh, who's there? Oh, it's cocky rookie Forrest Whitaker.
This guy just started learning about bombs, and he thinks he knows so much about bombs. He's getting on my nerves so bad.
I'm singing Irish songs to you. I'm being very disrespectful. You lost a friend. I don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm.
This is Boston, and you're going to sing Irish songs to me? That makes you racist, Forrest Whitaker.
Nope. It's still not possible.
Oh, no?
Yeah, no. It's the whites out there. So
I'll look it up. I'm not sure how it works.
He's like, hey, it was just a fluke what happened. And Jimmy Dove's like, no, man, you got him killed. And he's like, no, man, like, this is what we did. And then, like, Jimmy Dove's like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
He intentionally killed our guy. He bank shotted that shit.
We get a nice, like, just like Blue's Clues-esque, like, a montage sequence where it's just like a lot of Jeff Bridges' furrowed brow as he looks at where the bomb was. He looks at where the guy who was shooting the bomb to set it off was. He looks at the wall over here. He looks at the wall over here, furrows his brow some more, maybe scratches a chin or something.
Did you notice?
This is some real just like... This is where, like, a lot of the big broad acting in this movie starts coming in. And this little, I'm figuring out what happened with this bomb here thing.
He's imagining how his boy Blanket got killed.
Mm-hmm.
And did you notice when they show Blanket getting exploded against the wall?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, he hits the door and then, like, falls down.
He hits it real hard.
Well, you can really see the hole that they drilled in and then the string that pulled him to the door and then lowered him down.
Don't be showing things from behind the curtain. This is the magic of Blown Away.
Well, either way, I guess if there's one thing I never noticed before, it was that little flaw. Nice.
But yeah, he's just like, this guy's not a normal bomber.
You know what that flaw means?
He didn't even want the... What does it mean?
Practical stunts.
Oh, there we go.
So we're all right with it. We sign off on it.
Beautiful. This is not a normal bomber. He didn't even plan on the explosion doing anything. He wanted the backdraft from the explosion to do something. He's banking it off things. This is a guy who probably knows as much about bombs as I do, and I'm scanning my Rolodex. There's only one man out there in the world that knows as much about bombs as I do, and that's fucking Garrity.
Ho!
But he's in a fucking castle prison in Ireland where there's constantly thunderstorms happening outside the window. So there's no way. There's no fucking way it could be him.
No way it could be him.
Or couldn't it, Matt?
Boom.
Now we got a movie, motherfucker.
Now we got a movie. And
Bomb War.
It's
the greatest concept for a movie I've ever heard.
And that's what I tell everybody when I'm like, you ever seen Blown Away? And if they like ask me like, oh, you're doing action movies? Like, what action movies do you like? I'm like, well, you ever seen Blown Away?
First of all,
I've never seen Blown Away.
Yeah, that's why it only made $30 million. It's people like use the reasons why things suck out there in the world.
I tell people, I give them the same synopsis every time.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Bridges, Tommy Lee Jones. You say that, people go, oh,
yeah,
everybody likes those two.
Bomb fight.
Then I go, bomb fight in Boston, U2 soundtrack.
Oh, fucking.
What else do you need?
So good.
So good. We set up the bomb part. We're going to move it along because we're already dragging. I can tell this is going to be a two-hour one if we let it
be.
We're
in the weeds.
So we set up the bomb part. So understand more bombs are happening, and we get a little game of cat and mouse. And we'll talk a little bit more about the tension. But now we're going to start getting into the fact of, the cat and mouse, Ryan Garrity.
That's right.
And Jimmy Dove. So Garrity starts doing his own thing. He's setting up shop. He's got an abandoned boat where he's calling his home base. Because if you're a good bad guy. Yeah. Go ahead.
You have to have a great bad guy lair.
Thank you.
And the rusted out
old,
like 45 degree angle boat that fucking Garrity's holed up in is one of the coolest bad guy lairs ever in a movie.
So he discovers it and he's like, yep, this'll do. Time for me to go to like a flea market.
Starts filling it full of trash.
Get some bomb supplies.
Like, I'm going to buy a bunch of weird trash. I'm going to fill up this fucking boat with it. Anytime I'm dancing around in here, I'm at a wicked slant.
This is a very important scene because, like, not only is he getting the supplies for the bombs that we're going to see throughout the rest of this movie,
he gets introduced to the world of culture that has opened up.
That's right.
While he was in prison. He has no idea what's going on up there, man.
He buys a tinker toy from a young masshole.
Yeah, he doesn't want to sell it, but Garrity really fucking strong arms this kid.
Well,
like,
as Tommy Lee Jones
like
points
toy
out,
a lot, motherfucker.
He's a capitalist, you know? And so the mother, she's a masshole too. She's got to make a buck.
Oh, yeah,
and
right.
She's like, hey, Irish guy, you want to buy this U2 album?
He goes in at 5, but the kid talks him up to 10. Yeah. And then a fucking U2 cassette gets thrown in.
Yeah. Now, he's a little distracted, though. But it works out, because I think if he wasn't distracted, he wouldn't have bought the tape.
Mm-hmm.
But he notices Jimmy Dove's wife come through.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And he's like, whoa, whoa.
She's got her little daughter in there. There's a little daughter involved.
Yeah.
Jimmy Dove's a stepdad now, so
he's like,
got a child we can put in peril a lot, which comes in handy when you got an action movie.
He's like, I got to get this woman off my back so I can find out. And she's like, they're from U2, or they're from Ireland. You don't know who U2 is? And he's like, I'll see what the lads are up to.
Yeah.
And so he buys the tape.
Famous last words, see what the lads are up to.
Yeah.
They're up to making the Joshua Tree. That's
this is Joshua Tree era.
Fuck.
U2, man. So like,
biggest band in the goddamn world.
So he spies a little more and he goes back to the boat where he plays the U2 album and then proceeds to just dance around making bombs.
Dancing around crazy because probably even more so than Under Siege, but Under Siege is the only other thing you can compare it to. Tommy Lee Jones is being a fucking clown-ass weirdo in this movie.
Oh,
thankfully. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
He is chewing scenery. He's just being totally strange. He's Nick Caging it out in this role is what he's fucking doing. He's coming up with little fucking quirks for Garrity that were not anywhere in the script or anything anyone told him to do.
No,
he's just like, I'm going full in having fun with this movie. Like, that's my fucking goal.
The way he talks, like, he enters, like, this manic mode of speaking where he, like, almost talks too fast for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then just, like, makes weird facial gestures.
Rolling around spying on all the bomb squad guys dressed as, like, a janitor and, like, the fucking police fucking, you know, their fucking station. But he's he's like, he was reminding me of the janitor from Scrubs because he was just like all mischievous while he was in there. Just like behind the scenes, nobody notices him and he's pulling pranks and he's like, I know something you don't know. Just gleeful through this whole fucking movie.
Yeah.
It's like the child catcher from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. He's having so much fun blowing people up with bombs.
Yeah, and it makes you feel alive, you know? He's going after everybody that's special to Jimmy Dove.
Yeah, he starts taking out bomb squad members one at a time.
Now, Jimmy Dove's starting to put it together, and he goes to his buddy Max, who's his uncle, mentor slash uncle. We find out later.
Slash fucking Lloyd Bridges.
But yeah, it's Lloyd fucking Bridges, and Lloyd's just like trying to be the conscience to him, like, oh, you need to hang it up. He's the one that encouraged him to retire in the first place. Mm-hmm. And he's like, we gotta do this, we gotta do that, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, Jeff Bridges realizes what's going down and he's like, Max, you gotta just sit the fuck out on this one. Like, don't, you know, just don't get involved. Mm-hmm. This is too hot.
Sure.
I don't need to lose you too. Not to. Oh, wow. Wow. See what I did there?
Yeah, that would suck.
Yeah, I'd hate
that
to lose
you. Suck
YouTube
on many levels.
Yeah. And so, like, old Lloyd Bridges is like, all right, cool, cool. Yeah, I got you. I got you. So, like, Jeff Bridges is doing, like, his detective slash bomb squad thing, mm-hmm. trying to figure it all out. Same time, Ryan Garrity, he's turning the heat on more.
That's right.
He broke into Jimmy Dove's house.
Mm-hmm. He puts a fucking bomb in the bomb squad robot, blows up some of his bomb squad buddies.
Yeah. He's blowing up more friends
he
still.
He puts bomb in fucking Forrest Whitaker's headphones, tries to blow up his fucking protege. Yeah. Luckily, Jeff Bridges gets him out of that one because Jeff Bridges is pretty good too.
Yeah.
You know, it's a back and forth because these guys both know fucking bombs.
Yeah.
But once he breaks into Bridges' house and is like, he knows, he calls him and they talk and they're like, this is our past. We used to be in this terrorist organization together and I had a big bomb that was supposed to go off and then you tried to fucking sabotage it because you didn't want innocent people to die. And then I went to jail for it. Liam, aka Jimmy Dove. Now I'm going to kill everyone you fucking love.
You took everything that's sacred to me. I'm taking everything that's sacred to you.
So now we got the woman and the little girl. They're going to get blown up. We know it. And we've also established that in this movie, a fucking bomb squad robot, a computer, fucking headphones, anything could be a bomb. So this is when we start just like the horror movie insanity of anytime anybody touches anything.
It's very,
like, is that a bomb? Is that one a bomb? What's going to be a bomb? She picked up a phone. Is the phone a bomb? She opened the fridge.
Hitchcock,
the fridge a bomb?
Thriller, like, what's going to happen?
You get a lot of like David Fincher-esque like shots too of like the inside components of like things that people are using. Little like, ooh, I'm going to start up the stove.
You don't,
and like we get inside the stove.
It just turns into you don't trust anything.
And you're on edge at all points.
And it's a great, great plot. Like just a great ploy. Like
that scene though, where they're just going through the house, fucking Edie and the little girl, and they're touching everything. But the whole time Bridges knows what's going on. So he's racing to the house to warn them on his badass fucking motorcycle. So we just cut back and forth from like them touching stuff and turning stuff on to back to him just on the highway just fucking racing on his motorcycle. This is like, oh man, this is when I'm hitting peak blown away right in this scene. This fucking scene's getting me right now.
He gets to the house. They haven't died. He ushers them out. And then he's like, I'm a bomb squad guy. Mm-hmm. I need to check this house for bombs.
That's right.
Good news, Nate.
Let me do my bomb squad thing.
Good news.
Let me do my bomb squad thing.
Good news.
What's, finally.
There's no bombs.
This is because Garrity's not going to do what you expect him to do. He's going to do a thing that you don't expect him to do.
Nate.
Uh-huh.
Bad news.
Oh.
He killed his fucking dog.
He's checking the place for bombs. All he finds is his dead dog and his fucking little stepdaughter's, like, armoire. So then our next scene is just Jeff Bridges fucking at the end of his rope, just like fucking Gil from The Simpsons, digging a fucking grave in his backyard to bury his dog. Where he's heard to remark, he killed my fucking dog. And this is where we get one of a few scenes where Bridges is really able to wild it out.
Yeah.
And like, just like be crazy and at the end of his rope. There's one little bit of a criticism I have for this movie is that I think they were banking too much on trying to make Bridges a mainstream like leading man actor because
they
of this movie.
They should have let him be more wild.
So
maybe.
they were making him play too much of a straight-laced, clean-cut character where like, the like grizzly old fucking wild man of the 2000s, Jeff Bridges, or like the fucking cocky fucking 70s young indie movie Jeff Bridges was doing much more just like showy fun performances than this sort of like everyday hero thing he's doing here. And everybody else is getting to just shoot for the moon with weirdness. And I think like we're already in it. He's not much of a straight man.
Ironically,
I wish he could have just been a crazy weirdo too.
Ironically, he turned down the Nick Nolte role in 48 Hours because he didn't want to play a cop.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Bomb Squad's cooler than
And then
a cop.
Here he is. Like, if he would have just Nick Nolte'd it a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
It would have helped, you know?
Can we really give anybody the advice of Nick Nolte-ing it?
Well,
that leads down some dark paths.
Well, the racist shit would have worked in this Boston movie, though.
Oh, for sure.
So he's at his... He's nuts now. He's banished everyone. He's like, you can't be friends with me. You can't be my wife. You got to go live in the cottage. Mm-hmm. And Max's cottage on the lake
out
there
on
or whatever.
The fucking ocean.
Or the harbor or whatever.
Then we get that great scene where the little girl's out on the beach flying a kite.
Yeah.
And Garrity shows up.
Yes.
And he's got a fucking 90s trench coat, and he's being all weird, and he's got lobsters in his pockets.
Cargo pants.
And it all
lobsters.
Just fucking... It peaks with a scene where he's just waving a rusty knife in a little girl's face, pretending like he's gonna fix her kite that's been stuck on a fence. But it's very tense because he's a weirdo. The little girl's a fucking clueless little idiot. Yeah. He's waving a knife in her
face. She was in Richie Rich.
Was she?
Yeah.
Did she play Richie Rich?
No, that was Macaulay Culkin.
Mac is back. That's right.
The mom runs out.
The mom's running. We get one of those back and forth cuts again where cut to her running and screaming, get away from that man. Cut back to the little girl clueless while the rusty knife's getting waved around her face. Cut back to her screaming. Mad fucking tension going on here. But Garrity, he's not there to kill them. He's just there to play more Garrity mind games.
Hey,
he's drawing this fucking thing out.
You wouldn't happen to know where the Lindstroms live, do you?
He was fucking Cosmo Kramering it out there, taking lobsters to a fucking beach party. He's
quoting some T.S. Eliot.
Mm-hmm.
Having a good time.
This man's been around the block. Now that he knows classic literature and you two, he's unstoppable.
Oh, we forgot to tell you. Yeah, he did nothing but was reading in that prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They had rows of books.
Reading and swallowing condoms full of fucking nitroglycerin.
I just want to let you know, Nate,
mm-hmm.
as a former corrections officer, there was a lot of violations I saw in that cell.
This is the Wild West in Ireland. You think they got any rules out there? How many jails have you worked in that were a spooky castle? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, that's fair. Just one.
Okay, where are we going next here?
I don't know, man.
I think I've pretty much covered
gone through it
everything
all.
I want to cover, up to just talking about the great finale of this movie.
Oh, one final piece.
Okay.
Ryan Garrity finally kills Max.
Yes, that's right. He jumps
cries.
Him at that Irish bar.
He cries.
Two just Irish guys drinking some Guinness. He beats the shit out of him in the bathroom, straps a fucking bomb to him, uses that little toy he bought from the kid to create a trigger where he's got to like balance himself at all times or it'll blow up. We get a very dramatic scene where Bridges finds him before he blows up. It's about the fifth time Bridges runs directly towards an impending explosion in slow-mo. Just like, I'm going to need to stop this explosion. But then the explosion happens. He gets blown back by the explosion.
He gets blown away by the explosion.
Well, he's just not blown away. He's just blown back. If he was blown away, he'd be a fucking obliterated.
That's true.
But we get more scenes. I think he might be impervious to bombs at this point. It's like the fourth time he's ran directly into an explosion and hasn't died. But yeah, all Max gets killed. So then we get the second scene where Bridges gets to wild it out. He's hanging out in Max's hot tub fully clothed, with just like a gun shooting it and like threatening to commit suicide.
Drunk on Bushmills,
Drunk
Nate.
On Bushmills.
I can get a Jameson.
Bushmills okay?
That's Protestant whiskey.
Price is right, ain't it?
Make it neat.
Let that sit where it lies. We know what side of the fucking war this motherfucker's on right there. So that's the second scene where Bridges gets to wild it out. He's had enough fucking, and now we're ready for the big finale, which is, once again, like we got a two-part opener, we get a two-part finale.
Yes.
Because he's going for fucking Garrity in his rusted-out boat fucking hideout, which Garrity has booby-trapped with bombs top to bottom.
While dancing and listening to U2.
That's right. But then second part is, also, old girl Jimmy Dove's fucking wife has decided, I'm not gonna fucking hide the rest of my life. I'm an independent woman.
Yeah.
I'm a concert fucking cellist or whatever the fuck she does.
Boston Philharmonic.
I forget what she played. Some sort of string in it. But
violin.
She's like, it's the fireworks, it's the 4th of July, I gotta get out there and play.
Shit was on fucking A&E, bro.
So of course.
Did you notice?
Garrity's
watching it in his boat. It's on A&E.
He's put a bomb there too, though, Matt. He's gonna blow her up.
What?
He's gonna blow Bridges up.
Oh, Jesus.
We got dueling fucking finales going down at the same goddamn time.
Man, so.
It's a cool way to end a movie.
It's the coolest. It's a straight up boss fight. And it's not just a boss fight, because it's a boss fight at a boss level.
Mm-hmm.
The booby-trapped ship.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a Hardy Boys novel.
It's fucking amazing. So it's just tit for tat. Jimmy Dove's at his wit's end. He's not playing by the rules anymore. Mm-mm. He's playing by Garrity's rules.
He shows up. He's going to blow Garrity away. But Garrity's like, I got my finger on this trigger. And it doesn't blow us up, man. It blows up your fucking wife. I got a bomb under her chair in the orchestra pit. She's going to die. So then fucking Jimmy Dove is like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Just huge fight. It goes off.
steps on a bouncing Betty, which we were educated on in this movie, which is a cool landmine that jumps up and explodes
right in your face
that everybody thought was cool when they were like 10 or 12 and
but
saw
at this
movie.
Point, Bridges is like, I'm stepped on this. I'm fucked. Wait a minute. This isn't how Garrity wants me to die.
Nope.
Garrity plays mind games.
Yeah.
I'm gonna call his bluff. He steps off the thing. It bounces
glitter
up, explodes.
Bomb.
Glitter bomb. So then that causes enough of a distraction where they can just like tackle each other and start rolling
They're
around.
They're fighting
and just
now.
Fighting, catching their elbows and all the rusted parts of this boat, probably getting tetanus.
Right. This boat is at 45 degrees and just decrepit. So every time they hit the ground, they break through the ground.
Yeah, and fucking the boat shifting. Is the boat going to sink? What's going on? Which level of the boat are they on now?
Now, they've pretty much established like there's maybe three levels to this boat, like previously
that makes sense,
in the movie.
Yeah, we get a nice little like, but during those U2 scenes, we do establish the geography of the boat pretty well with the camera.
But during this fight, they bust through like six or seven floors, so I'm not really certain
their
what's
adrenaline
going on
was
here.
Pumping,
but
man.
Yeah, it's cool nonetheless. They just keep falling to different levels, and it's just, I got you, no, I got you, no, I got you, no, you're going to die, no, you're going to die, hey, everybody's going to die. So it looks like they're both going to fucking die. There's a fire going, Bridges is handcuffed to Tommy Lee Jones' ankle, Tommy Lee Jones is passed out on one side of a rail, and
they're just
fucking
hanging from
Bridges
fucking
is hanging from the other one. He's conscious,
handcuffs.
But he can't get out, but then... Wait, there's a shadow.
A countdown is happening.
There's a
this
shadow.
Whole boat's going to explode.
Behind the fire. And then you hear, and Forrest Whitaker and his sleepy eye jump through the fire. And he's like, bro, I know I was kind of shitty sometimes. Mm-hmm. And like, I was kind of pointing the finger at you that you're responsible for all this bomb shit going on.
Young and old rivalry going on.
But I got you, bro. He shoots the cuff, gets Bridges free. And Bridges is like, we got to get Gary. And he's like, no, man, like, we just got to fucking live at this point.
Garrity's evil.
Yeah, he's knocked the fuck out. We just have to live at this point. So he gets Bridges off the boat.
We get fucking, a classic running down a pier as the entire fucking pier explodes. Scene.
So
are they going to be able to do the dramatic jump
Garrity,
into the water
Garrity
before
comes
everything
to.
Explodes?
Garrity comes to, and he's looking around like, oh, I got to get off this boat. And then he sees the fire start going off, and he's like, fuck.
Yeah.
I just done got blown away.
Blown away by my own bombs.
And he gets blown away. And
he's like the 10th person to get blown away at this point.
Yeah. Bridges.
Fucking crazy.
Bridges and Whitaker do the longest pier run, dive, jump. Are we going to make it out of here or aren't we? And it cuts back and forth.
Whole ship explodes.
There's
pier explodes.
There's some close-ups on old Forrest and Bridges where it's green screen and you can tell.
We established earlier when Forrest Whitaker got those fucking headphone bombs on that he's a jogger.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's believable that he can run down this pier and explosions are happening. I know he's a portly gentleman.
He has
but
seemingly no muscle mass anywhere on his
he's
body.
He's a jogger.
But yeah,
Trust me.
He's a jogger. So, it is believable because you joggers, you're sick. Like, you get the jogger fat. It's a thing. Like, jogging's not a real
everybody
workout.
Knows about jogging fat.
Damages your joints. It's the stupidest
your
fucking thing you can
like
do
garbage.
To your body. And then you just get doughy because there's no real muscle definition. It's just bleh. So anyways, they're running. They go to jump off the pier. And then there's also, like, clear shots of stuntmen running away from a real fucking barge blowing up in East Boston.
It seems like it could be the biggest explosion in movie history.
It might be.
Like, it's spectacular how gigantic Garrity's boat exploding is.
Nate, I read that this explosion in the harbor.
That's right.
Shattered dozens of windows on the east side of Boston.
I read 8,000 windows.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That was just like a Wikipedia thing, though. I don't know how true it is.
You figure it's got to be somewhere in between
dozens and 8,000. Somewhere in between then.
Call that a cool 1,000. That's still a lot of fucking windows.
I'm impressed by that many windows shattering.
Man. So it's real. It's a real fucking explosion. And we're like, cool. They're good. They lived. End of the movie, right?
I would assume so. Oh, no, wait. I forgot.
Oh,
we have
one
dueling
loose end.
Fucking finales, because
one
also there's
bomb.
Still a bomb at the fucking orchestra pit. So Bridges once again has to do one of those racing towards a bomb thing.
Yeah.
Is he back on his fucking sweet motorcycle at this point?
No, Forrest Whitaker saves him and then puts him in his late 80s
we're in
yellow
ride.
Mustang 5.0.
I really wish we were back on that motorcycle and Whitaker was riding bitch. That would have been a much funnier scene.
The good news is when they get to where Katie is, she gets away before Jeff Bridges can get to her, and he only has one choice to catch up to her.
But he's just run and scream like an idiot like he's done for 90% of this movie?
He had to commandeer a motorcycle off of a Boston police officer.
Makes a lot of sense.
So then he takes the bike and he's riding.
Every action movie's got to have a great policeman commandeering a vehicle scene.
He sees her drive off and he sees the lights.
We get a very dramatic her starting the Jeep thing. Like, oh man, this Jeep's going to explode. It's a car bomb. It's a car bomb. I know it is.
Yeah.
It is a car bomb.
But not like your usual.
With a twist.
Not your bullshit start a casino blowing up car bomb.
The thing is, once she gets in the Jeep, fucking the odometer counts down to zero, just like the countdown to zero happened on Garrity's boat.
Yeah.
And we've got a speed before it was speed situation where there's a bomb on a car, and if it stops, the car's going to explode. And we got a little girl in the car and a woman.
Yeah, what do we do?
Nobody likes to see little girls and women die, so fucking Jimmy Dove's got to do some superhero mad out on a fireworks barge shit.
Yep.
Take his jet ski, and that's a metaphor in this case. It's a cop fucking motorcycle. Just leap from that motorcycle onto the Jeep.
Yeah,
fucking,
or the flaming barge, however you
want to. Once again, get in between a woman's legs. And,
at least it's his wife this
while
time.
She drives, he's got to get down there in between those nasty ass legs of hers in that fucking Boston dank pit, or I don't forget what we said earlier.
That was dank Irish prison.
Dank Irish prison.
He is right by
up right next to her
Irish
dank
prison.
Irish prison. And
oh man,
he's got to defuse the bomb between her legs so that she can fucking hit the brakes.
Man, so he does.
Yeah, he does a pretty good job.
He just does.
One of his Garrity's little toys is down there like a toy duck or something quacking.
Yeah.
So he's just like, I can't figure out how to fucking defuse this thing. I'm just going to like fucking break this duck's head off.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh yeah, that worked.
And it works.
It totally worked.
And then Forrest Whitaker is there and he's like, hey, just so you know, I figured out that you're not who you say you are. And
I know that you're Liam.
Yeah. And then Jimmy Dove's like, well, then I just quit, man. Like, I don't know what to do. And like Forrest Whitaker's like, nah, it's cool, man. I'm just going to take credit for everything and you just live your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, it was nice gesture, kind of, half-hearted.
Still, but like, you know, in line with his cocky young man wanting to climb the ranks of the bomb squad character.
So there it is, blown away.
Mm-hmm.
Everything got blown away.
Including fucking all my expectations the first time I sat down and watched this movie.
Yeah.
Do we even need to do a Judgment Day? I think everybody already knows we love this movie.
Yeah.
Are we going to do it anyway?
Just end it.
Okay, let's take a break.
Ooh. Yeah, let's break.
We got some things we need to set up.
That'll give us an excuse to drink more. You're right. Mm-hmm. You're on the old Baby Won't Blow. So, Judgment Day?
They stole $100 million in midair and lost it. Now, to get it back.
Recognize these locations?
They'll make one man a hostage.
You're not going after him.
Which was my gut?
And the other, a moving target. Cliffhanger, rated R. Starts Friday, May 28th at a theater near you.
What can I say? I'm a spy.
Hold on. For the ride. Of your life. The motion picture event of the year is finally here. July 15th. Arnold Schwarzenegger, True Lies, rated R. Special advance screening July 14th, opens July 15th everywhere.
Nate.
Yeah.
I still have found what I'm looking for.
Oh, okay. You still have?
I still have.
Good.
And it's this delicious glass of Bushmills we've poured for ourselves in honor of Blown Away.
Oh, no. This is Bushmills.
Yeah.
We've acquired a bottle.
Yeah.
Irish whiskey is not our favorite whiskey. You know that we're whiskey connoisseurs.
Right.
Bushmills is not our favorite Irish
whiskey.
Definitely
not.
But we sprung for the 10-year at least, so hopefully this won't be swill enough. We're going to, for the first time on air, do a long time matinee tradition we've been doing all the way. Anytime you throw up a glass, anytime you do a cheers, you got to do it to one man, the greatest American who's ever lived. He does so much for the children. So let's take a sip of this Bushmills to Bono.
That's drinkable.
That's so mild. It doesn't even barely feel like I got whiskey in my mouth.
Yeah.
Tastes a little bit like a horse barn on the finish.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make, this is like a maybe like a straw. Is that when people are like tasting things? They're like, there's a bit of a strawiness. It's not my favorite thing I've ever tasted, but it's better than fucking bottom line Bushmills. That's for damn sure.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely glad I sprung for
those extra dollars were worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not suffering. That's for sure.
So, you know, to all the Protestant Irish out there, this one's for you and Bono.
This one's for you, Morph.
Edge. There should have been, you got that Alan Silvestri score going on and Blown Away. I think it was a little bit too on the nose. Felt like it was holding my hand a little bit too much. Would it have killed them to just get the Edge to twinkle some guitar shit as like an original score going on?
It'd be nice.
Or let's lean into the U2 if we're doing U2. Fucking Johnny Greenwood's doing movies now. Why can't the Edge just twinkle his way through a movie score?
He can. Long before Johnny Greenwood ever did, he and Bono did the soundtrack to the hit Mel Gibson film Million Dollar Hotel.
Fucking legends, those guys.
Yeah.
Fucking legends.
Yeah.
So let's get into this Judgment Day before, you know, the night ends on us and we're still talking about Blown Away. You know how this works. We do a couple one-bullet reviews from the internet.
Uh-huh.
We do a couple five-bullet reviews from the internet. We let them sink in, and then we give our final thoughts. This first one-bullet review I found is from IMDb user PMC_LFC. He says, if I had the option to give this 0 out of 10, I would have. I found it completely stereotypical and insulting to the Irish race in relation to most of Tommy Lee Jones' pathetic acting in the movie, quote-unquote. However, in support to him, the script didn't give him much inspiration to act in his usual convincing manner. One example, which clarifies this is midway through the film, as he sings along to a U2 song while gleefully manufacturing home explosives. What's the problem?
Yeah, I'm failing.
Is this supposed to give the scene a realistic edge or force the majority of viewers to fire a basket of eggs at their television screens?
It gave you a realistic edge.
I think
edge.
The latter.
It gave you a realistic edge.
No, it gives you a reason to fire a basket of eggs at your screen.
No, it gave you a realistic edge, and he was playing six strings.
Don't bother wasting 2 hours by viewing this crap. One bullet from IMDb user PMC_LFC. This next person,
hopefully
is a little less dumb sounding.
When you started reading that, I almost yelled like, oh, fuck you, out of reaction.
Yeah.
Kind of like how Doc yells at Al and Deb, like, oh, fuck you, Al. And then I was like, oh, okay, hold on.
This next one's going to make you emotional.
This is just Nate reading.
This one's a one bullet review from IMDb user Bob the Moo. Okay, this is infuriating. How he starts this off.
Oh, man.
Ha 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 ha. Oh, wait, you mean this wasn't a joke? How many bomber out for revenge movies do we need? The reason Hollywood loves him is because we get an easy excuse for big explosions. Duh. However, Blown Away fails on so many levels. First, it tries to flesh out the characters, but this doesn't work and only serves to slow things down. Secondly, the action is silly and has no real suspense. So fake, so false. It's entertaining enough if you just want to see things blow up, but if you want thrills or attention as well, then you're in the wrong place. It's not all bad, but the whole film feels like it's half-baked, like someone was stuck with a bad idea but did the best they could with it. A personal bugbear of mine is the whole Hollywood obsession with the IRA. Why do characters always have to be too crazy for the IRA or have gone good from the IRA? How on earth ex-IRA member Dove gets into the Boston police force is the first joke, but also the fact that Garrity is too crazy, etc. is daft. Do the IRA put people out for bombing innocent people? I think not, hence the word terrorist. Jeff Bridges is okay, but really just runs around with a furrowed brow all the time. That's true. Jones is OTT. It's like he realizes that this is crap and wants people to see his tongue in his cheek.
What's OTT?
Over the top.
Oh.
His Irish accent is terrible and just made me laugh. The worst is Lloyd Bridges. Is he awake for most of this? The two funniest bits with him in it is where he is attached to some absurd bomb thing, but even funnier is him in an Irish pub drinking some black watery liquid that's supposed to be Guinness. If I made the drink, I would have sued. One bullet from IMDb user Bob the Moo,
who's
either from Ireland or thinks he knows a lot about Ireland.
This sporty wee fuck is from England.
Oh.
He uses the term daft in there.
Yeah, right?
And who were the
Irish people might who say
were
that
the,
too.
Who are the Irish, the IRA against?
Daft Punk, the French techno artists.
The Brits.
Oh.
Is get the Brits out.
Yeah, fuck the British.
So he's got, that's why he's got his issues with the IRA so much.
Bushmills is starting to grow on me. I think my Irish genes are coming out.
Yeah, that's that smoky
suddenly
finish.
That just like barn flavor is not so bad to me. Yeah, I think that's pretty good. I think that might be a fucking, probably from whatever fucking British town is equivalent to Boston.
Yeah.
Slough or whatever. Yeah. I don't fucking know. Fucking idiot. Yeah. We're just, let's disregard that right now and get into some five bullet reviews. These
Thank
are some
you.
People that know what they're talking about.
Let's get into some
been
British,
around the block.
Let's get into some British
taste.
Chavs.
This first five bullet review is from an anonymous Amazon viewer. Just somebody who watched it on Amazon. They
it's
have to
like,
say.
It's like the PBR of scotch.
You almost got there, Bushmills. The anonymous viewer from Amazon says, "The beautiful Lonnie Anderson rules, starring as a model who finds out that her husband is a drug kingpin who threatens her escaping. She that tries to regain custody of her daughter. It's a must see." Five bullets from an anonymous Amazon viewer.
What movie is she talking about?
There is another blown away. From either a year later or a year earlier.
Is Lonnie Anderson?
No, it's got fucking the Coreys and like one of those fucking early 90s Skinamax actresses.
So what Lonnie Anderson movie is she talking about?
I have
about?
No idea.
How do you do that?
We're talking about here.
Oh, keep the train rolling. I'll see if I can figure
this
it out.
This next five bullet review is from Letterboxd user Alan Pitt. Alan says, "My review. This film is now on DVD, and it made a decent profit margin of roughly $30 million. That's not what profit margin means,
not,
man.
Yeah.
But I could not find any budget figures, so with the massive explosions and highly detailed individual scenes, I wouldn't be surprised if the budget was $10 million. Just a rough estimation." Pretty rough.
Okay.
"I actually really did enjoy this film. Yes, it has a familiar action-packed formula, but what makes it different to other action-packed films is the fact as viewers we have three performers feeding off one another. Within that, it has a marvelous tempo. Very possibly the best tempo I have seen on DVD for some time. The individual scenes, just a couple of examples. The stereo sequence is genius. Yes, it may not have a massive budget here, but the idea has to be commended for its individualism. Another one is the first explosion in this film. Once again, I just like the idea. Even yes, this one begins a little bit graphically. So would I recommend this film? Yes, I really couldn't find anything wrong with it, to be honest. But in fairness, I should recommend Parents' Guidance. Buzz of Ultimate Awesomeness, 5 out of 5. Blown Away, UA, 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 UA. Five bullets from Letterboxd user Alan Pitt.
Okay.
So there we have it. 2 1-bullet reviews, 2 5-bullet reviews. All make excellent points.
Old girl was referring to the 1990 Blown Away.
There's a third Blown Away?
Starring Lonnie Anderson and John Mr. McAllister Heard.
That one did not show up when I searched for it on Letterboxd. That's got to be an obscure fucking Blown Away.
Directed by Sir Michael Miller, who gave us 1975's Street Girls.
Ooh, Street Girls.
Yeah.
Looks very promising.
When a middle-aged father searches for his dropout daughter, Angel.
There are 10 different movies from the 70s with this exact
His
plot.
Quest takes him into the underworld of prostitutes,
and
pimps, drug addicts,
good.
And thieves. Angel's become a dancer in a topless bar, and her dealer boyfriend is turning her onto a heroine.
Next week, all our plans are out the window. We're doing Street Girls.
He also made Chuck Norris's Silent Rage.
Great film.
He also made the 1976 one of our favorite genres, Chicks in Jail, Jackson County Jail. That just seems to be a buxom young lady stuck in a jail getting raped by a sheriff.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Let's get into your final thoughts.
Oh, look who's in it.
And your bullet review, Jackson County Jail, starring Tommy Lee Jones.
He's young.
And he's got a pompadour. Roger Corman, you produced gold.
We're going to have to watch this movie, man. Oh, blown away.
Focus, focus. No, we're talking about blown aways, not other blown aways.
But by getting into blown away, it's brought us to all this other gold.
All things it lead gives, from blown
and it
away.
It gives, and it motherfucking gives.
Lead to Rome.
Gives. There's been so many times where we've watched it on fucking St. Patrick's Day, because as we established, you can watch this movie multiple times throughout the year. And I've seen
it ends at the 4th of July.
I've seen this movie.
There's explosions.
So many times.
Sometimes I watch it on Mother's Day.
So many, yeah. And just thinking like, I wish you did.
Jimmy Dove didn't have a mother. It's so sad.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's what you're thinking. You should watch it on Mother's Day. Hell yeah. So I've seen this movie so many times, and there's two times that stick out to me the most.
Yeah?
The very first time I saw this movie, it was Dan Durack's birthday.
How old was he?
Shit, he's a year between Ted and I.
Okay.
So, 1 year older than me, 1 year younger than Ted. 94, so I was 11, Dan was 12, Ted was 13.
It's a good age to watch Blown Away, I'll tell you that right now.
We went to the old drive-in for his birthday. It was a double feature.
Good place to watch Blown Away.
A double feature. The first movie, it was the movie we were there to see. It was called Jim Carrey's The Mask.
Well, that didn't disappoint. I could tell you that right now.
The second movie.
Good thing that wasn't so satisfying. You didn't like drive away like, all right, nothing's going to top that. Like, I've seen as much movie as I need for the night.
Well, second movie was a little film we weren't really familiar with called Blown Away, because we were all young and this was a rated R film. And we were like, I mean, like, we were here for The Mask. Like, how can you be better than The Mask? Then the fucking movie started.
That's right.
And we were captivated. Yeah. And we didn't talk about The Mask the following Monday.
It wasn't like, oh, you remember the cute dog for The Mask? It was, do you remember when the dog died and Blown Away?
Yeah, fucking Blown Away. The coolest shit I've ever seen in my 11 years of living. And the other time was when I finally got Maria to watch Blown Away. And I was like, come on.
An important step in a relationship.
We got to watch Blown Away. And she's like, And I was like, Nate, I watch it all the time. You got to watch Blown Away. She's like, And I was like, it's free. It's on demand right now. We can watch it for free. And she's like,
You can't pass up an opportunity like this.
And so she talked me out of it. And then the very next day.
Tater.
The very next day, the Boston Marathon bombings happened.
That's God punishing everyone.
I told Maria, I was like, we're watching Blown Away tonight before Comcast comes to their senses and pulls it.
That's like when I ordered all the Cosby Show DVDs off of Amazon. I was like, oh, those aren't going to be for sale forever.
My point is,
Cosby's in hot water.
Blown Away sticks with me. So I've been going back and forth, like, should I, shouldn't I? And this movie is just too fucking important to me. And is it with the, could you take like maybe 10 minutes off of it and get it under 2 hours? Maybe. Could you have done a couple things here and there? Maybe. But everything else is there, and it should be. And it's one of my favorite fucking movies of all time. And I got three action movies that just I can't fuck with. And it's Die Hard, it's Blown Away, and it's a third to be named later, because I know there's one and I reserve a spot to have with those two.
At least have like a good 10 action movies.
And I gotta say, five fucking bullets.
Five fucking bullets.
I can't give this movie anything less, because this is just, this is my shit right here. And if maybe I'm blinded by how much I love it, but even trying to watch it critically today, I was still just like, this is the greatest shit ever, man. Like, it's a fucking bomb fight in Boston with Bridges and fucking Tommy Lee Jones. It's got a fucking U2 soundtrack.
That's right.
I don't hate it. The love interest that they put in there, like, it all makes sense. They make it work because, like, she could get blown away and he doesn't want her to get blown away. So she's important to me. And man, like,
if Jimmy Dove's wife gets blown away, that's going to make him sad, and that's going to make me sad. I love Jimmy Dove.
Love this movie. If this movie came out in the current day, it would be stupid because the real explosions wouldn't have been there, and they also would have made a prequel movie about their lives in the IRA together.
Oh, yeah, that would have been like the first 30
luckily,
minutes of the movie.
This movie was made in 1994, and it didn't make the money they wanted it to make, and it just remains a beautiful, awesome movie. Perfect piece of action movie that so many fucking people just don't even know about. Five bullets.
Blown away. Perfect score. I think that's is that the first Baby Oil and Blow five bullet review?
Oh, hell yeah.
This is a milestone right here. Blown Away, a favorite of mine as well. Loved it my whole childhood. Loved it my whole adulthood. It's got some over-the-top performances in it. It's got some spotty accent work in it, and that's what you want from a corny 90s movie.
Yes.
You want it to be fun, you want it to be silly, you want it to be summertime popcorn. Concept of dueling bombers fucking just trying to outwit each other is a great concept. Rusted out boat is a great fucking villain
best.
Hideout. The explosions are gigantic and awesome. Get a couple U2 songs in here, but there are, one of the things that did strike me is like, I didn't realize how many other songs there are that aren't U2 songs too. And I thought a little bit like, couldn't it have just been all U2 songs?
They use Why other Irish
all
bands
fucking
though.
U2 songs?
They use other Irish bands.
In my fucking world, there are no other Irish bands.
That's
all right. So much tension around that concept of anything could be a bomb and there could be an explosion anytime. Motherfucking Tommy Lee Jones speed ripped this movie off entirely. I don't care if the two scripts were getting shopped around at the same time. That thing was rewritten within an inch of its life. Fucking Joss Whedon saw Blown Away and he was like, I know where I'm taking this thing. I'm not going to give a nostalgia pick like this five bullets. I'm not going to go that far as you did. I'm going to give it a solid four bullets, though. Blown Away. Solid, great movie that
I think
that
you
I
went
like.
Light.
Solid, great movie
I think
I
you
like.
Could have gone 4.5.
Four bullets is what I did. Average it, Baby Oil and Blow average. It's at 4.5. That's a very respectable score for Blown Away.
It should be at 5. It should be at a perfect 5.
Happy 4th of July, everybody. I'm sorry if I've disappointed any of you Blown Away enthusiasts out there.
Just me.
But there's a lot going on this July because this is one of those fun months where we've got like 5 weeks going on in one month. So we're rolling right into another fucking theme month right here, motherfucker. Straight out of this 4th of July special. Our next theme, 90s action Mount Rushmore. We're going to do this every July, I've decided, because why the fuck not? It's summertime. Let's have fun with the big guns. A Stallone, a Schwarzenegger, a JCVD, a Seagal. We're doing all of them. We're starting next week with fucking Cliffhanger.
Rennie Harlan?
Rennie Harlan's... maybe greatest achievement ever. Rennie Harlan, Baby Oil and Blow favorite, as it turns out. We're diving into his work next week.
We talk all his projects. I'm even going to bring up some of his later fare that you don't even know about. Ooh. That is a thing.
Post Kevin Bacon Invisible Man shit.
Oh, you know, I never got to see that movie.
Oh, that movie is so crazy. You'll love it.
I was supposed to go see it. And I went and tagged along with Ted, and he was salty about it. And so he didn't tell his friends.
How
and the,
dare he?
The picture sold out. And then I randomly ran into other people that I knew there, and I saw George Clooney and Mark Wahlberg's Perfect Storm instead.
That's a perfect storm of a shitty evening.
And then Ted ditched me in Indiana.
Okay.
At 1 a.m.
It's pretty late to be ditched in Indiana, but, you know, we've been through worse before. We'll be through worse again.
And we'll watch worse, because sometimes we'll watch bad movies. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make you do it again. But stay single on Baby Oil and Blow.
It's a long road when you're on your own, and it hurts when they tear your dreams apart. And every new town just seems to bring you down, trying to find peace of mind can break your heart. Outside your front door, I tell ya, affair.